if they're only homemakers, because it's a perfect thing. And there are things to be done, which they use their abilities. I think that AUW is quite a strong organization for that reason. It gives women some reason to do some, not signed reading necessarily, but structured reading and bringing together material on some in some particular area and reporting it in groups and so on, so that the different, there are many different subject matter areas in AUW, and I think it's, they're strong probably because it's an outlet for women who want to. I think the League of Women Voters is another very live organization where women are using their abilities and very worthwhile activities.
Yes.
And there are women like Niall Harper, who's on the county board, Joyce Erdman, who is on the Board of Regents, and I guess she finally resigned as president of the village. But she was president of the village of Sherwood Hills for a time.
Was she?
And her family, her children are grown. And women come to a point where they, the children are grown and don't need the close supervision that they may have had, have needed in their earlier years, and want to do something more than spend their husband's salary. Marla was talking about someone who had expressed, what connection? Women would say, oh, you mean you have a salary like our husbands have? No, or an income such as our husbands have? I can't, maybe it is in this Milwaukee project or these projects that she's running off where people come in with their records of the way they spend their money and they run it through a computer and they're compared with a standard some way. But incidentally, housing, she said that's one that gets a red flag pretty much with the studies they've had so far. The housing is out of line. It's more expensive than it really is supposed to be,
yeah.
Which I think is true.
Yeah. Well, there's, on the other side, I've also heard it suggested that, well, it's all right for women to do work outside their homes, but that it's not possible for a woman to really excel in a profession or whatever, and have a family, that just the kind of, particularly in the academic world, the kind of time that would have to be put in to do research and so forth, she can't do it if she has a family.
Well, it is, I think it's true that not too many women have been able to do it. These young, there's a couple who worked together, and I think I mentioned them the other day, cancer research.
Yes, I recall.
They have, they've had some children and grown up now, and they're still working together. But that is rather an unusual. A good many times women cannot put in the time and effort that it takes. And meet the demands that are required for what you might call success. So that sometimes I suppose they feel frustrated. Because there are those things that have to somehow be done. And it isn't easy to hire, as any of us who've ever tried it know, that household help isn't easy to come by. Margaret's youngest, was a little youngster, we had a succession of women. He was in nursery school some of the time, but not always. We had a succession of women who were supposed to do some housework and chaperone him. One of the most satisfactory women we had was the wife of a student. Has been very different from what I anticipated when I married. Of course, I didn't expect to be widowed at 27 and had no idea what I would do after that. But I would say, on the whole, I've had a good life. I've enjoyed what I was doing. I've worked pretty hard. And most of the time, I have felt that I was getting a fair deal. Didn't worry too much about it, I guess.
And you seem to have you felt that the University of Wisconsin was as good a place to be as you would like?
Yes, I think that the University of Wisconsin has been good to me. It's a great thing to go to these, they have each year an emeritus breakfast.
Oh, yes.
And always the, John Weaver, of course, has been there, and Ed Young has been there. And, of course, they all just get up and tell us how we've created a great university, and we just pat ourselves on the back and think we've been wonderful. And that is really a great occasion, because you see former colleagues whose path doesn't cross from until the next year, probably, and people that you like to see, but you just don't happen to, And it really is a meeting that many of us just wouldn't miss.
Well, it has become a very nice tradition, I think.
Oh, I think it has. And I think that I don't think I've missed any of them. I was in on the first one. And that was the year that Gladys Borchers and I both went to Brigham Young. She was teaching out there the same semester that I was.
Oh, was she?
As a visitor. And we did many things together because I had a car and she didn't. And we saw a good deal of the country around because she was always ready to go. And she was not involved with family and church as most of our colleagues were. So we had a good time.
But you came back for the breakfast.
Oh, yes, indeed. We were back in time for that. I don't think I've missed one. You see, these were not started until after I'd done all this. Well, this Brigham Young, you see, I was going to Brigham Young when they had the first one. Gladys and I knew then that we were both going to be there, though that was held in the spring, so it must have been for the fall semester. I'm not too clear on it. But that was my last assignment away from there, so. And I think hers too. And she had taught me a number of other places, as I had, after she retired here.
Well, I think they're going to carry those breakfasts on. They seem to be generally appreciated.
Oh, I hope so. Let's see. Who was chairman this last one? Ray DeVark was the chairman. I don't know. The system is to put you on the committee and you progress, I guess. About the third year that you're on, you're the chairman.
How's that how it
there
works?
Then you're retired. Then you're not on the committee anymore. So I had the experience of being chairman, being on the committee and then being chairman. And finally retiring from it. But it's easy enough. You just, you know, to call the union who provides breakfast. Decide, maybe the committee meets and decides where it's going to be. And we've been at the center two or three times in succession now.
Because the last few times it has been
it's
there.
It's such a convenient place. And first we tried to go to places, new buildings that people hadn't been in. And I guess eventually we'll probably arrange to have a meeting out here at the medical center as it becomes a reality. But I know there was some discussion once of, there is one, the building where they work with the Weissman Center.
Oh yes, cancer
mental
research.
No, mental
research. Oh, the mental, oh yes. Mental.
And there was some movement to come out there, but that is part of the medical center as it's now developing, so I guess that I don't know where the next one will be. I just go now.
One thing I haven't asked you about was whether you did any extension type work, whether you did any traveling around the state at all.
I was never officially on the extension staff. I was always, my appointment was always with the resident faculty. But I did go occasionally at, when Mrs. Nellie Kedzie Jones was the state leader of extension here. She used to ask me to go somewhere. And one summer, we used to have so-called station days. And they were not all on the Madison campus. There were experiment station farms in other parts of the state, and they needed to have some a women's program. They were showing the men the plots or the livestock or whatever, but they needed something for women. One summer, I was hired to put on women's programs at these station days in various parts of the state. So I think, I don't know what I did, I don't remember, but I was also doing radio programs that summer because there were not enough people available in home economics to keep the, to supply WHA, and at that time it was pretty much home economics program, they were pretty much home ec programs, and so I had a whole series of radio talks that same summer. So I guess you'd call all of that extension in a sense. I never have forgotten. One time I was going at Mrs. Jones' invitation somewhere upstate, and she said, "Now, May, don't go up there and tell those women that they have to have an orange juice, an orange every day for their children or for each child. They simply cannot afford it. You'll have to think of something else." Well, it happened to be a season when wild berries were available. And I knew that many of these wild berries were good sources of vitamin C. So I was able to tell them to go out and pick the wild berries and feed them to their children. But I've used that as an illustration more than once in talking to young people who are doing the same sort of thing now, that you have to learn to adapt what you're saying to the situation. But that, it was that sort of thing that occasionally I would be asked just to go out maybe on one trip somewhere. One time I took a bus way up someplace like Eau Claire to give my words of wisdom to a group of women. Well, they had a style show, and I thought the style show would never end. Now here I'd gone all this way by bus to Eau Claire, and then I sat while all these youngsters paraded their dresses And then when it finally came to be my turn to speak, the chairman said, "Now it's getting a little late, I hope you'll be brief."
Oh.
I was so mad, I was almost ready to say I'd never go again. But that was not the usual reception. But I did some of that from time to time because I sort of enjoyed it, and I'd had a little experience as a farmer's wife. And as I said, I guess I kind of liked the sound of my own voice. Anyway, it was, and it was a good thing, I think, really, and I think it still is a good thing for resident faculty to have to go out into the state once in a while and find out what's going on, kind of get their feet on the ground. Helen Parsons used to have in her research always what she called a potboiler. She'd have some things going that would seem to have very little application to the family, as it were. But she'd always have some little project, like the vitamin C content of kitchen sauerkraut, for example, or the iron content of sorghum from different parts of the state, or some project which would have a direct application to family life right now and immediately. And then she could go on doing what you might call more basic research, and keep, have her pot boilers that kept her going. I learned a good deal from her about making things practical at the same time.
She was a practical kind of person.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Of course, I've always had a tendency to try to see a practical application of any kind of research that's being done. It doesn't always show up immediately, but it eventually should have some. But many times it doesn't. Isn't immediately visible that's going to be practical.
Yeah. Well, that's